This is the place, and this is the time. Here and now, the mystery awaits to break into our experience, to change our minds, to change our lives, to change our ways, to help us see the world and the whole of life in a new light. This is the place. This is the time. Here and now, let us praise the mystery by joining together in song. At the center of our service and at the center of our lives, we take this time to light candles of memory, candles of hope, or because we feel troubled, blessed, conflicted, or simply because we'd like to add a little light to the world.
Would you join me now in an attitude of prayer? Mystery of many names and mystery beyond all naming. We are here and wondering where happiness has gotten off to. Most of us can remember moments in our lives that we considered happy. Yet each time we try to reproduce those moments, the reproductions are faded replicas of the original. As we chase after happiness, it seems only glimpses of it are managed as we race through our hectic days. We see it and it's gone. Thoughts of happiness and sadness are images that arise in the mind, and attaching to or rejecting those images has unfortunately contrary effects. Attaching to happiness pushes happiness out so fast, we're not even sure that's what we were feeling. Rejecting sadness brings sadness closer with every push. This morning, our prayer is to finally let go of the idea of happiness. It's time to stop eating the menu and start enjoying the meal. It's time to let go and let it be whatever it is. Time to stop and watch. We remember those this morning that because of war, famine, pestilence, or circumstances beyond their control are thrown into situations not of their own making and do not have the luxury of watching their lives. May we attempt in however a halting manner to reach out to them. If not physically, then may we reach out in our thoughts, sometimes referred to as our prayers. May the peace that surpasses all understanding find in our hearts a place to rest. May we realize that this peaceful happiness is simply a guest, temporary but still to be honored. We pray this in the name of everything that is holy, and that is precisely everything.
The Dalai Lama has said the very purpose of life is to be happy. Who in this room wants to be happy? Who thinks they know what it really means to be truly happy? I want to be happy. I've been thinking quite a bit about how to order my life so that I experience satisfaction more often than not. I am speaking of lasting happiness, not momentary, fleeting, whimsical pleasure. A contentment not dependent upon externals. A delight that is grounded in a source that my heart and mind can access at any time. An ease that is generated from the ground of my being. My understanding of spiritual happiness is a deep contentment and joy that exists beneath all the superficial ways of ephemeral life. It is a faith and gratitude that never leaves, providing a center throughout the ups and downs of life. We have often heard that you are looking for happiness in all the wrong places. We've heard this in New Age workshops, religious sermons, self-help seminars, and in many spiritual books. You're looking for happiness in the wrong places. You're looking outside yourself. You have to look within. But what does it really mean to find happiness within? How do we know that we're not just chasing after substitutes? How do we touch and live from the ground of our being? One definition of happiness that I prefer is to experience a meaningful and spiritually fulfilling life, one that is peaceful and useful, a life filled with inner freedom, love, creativity, and authenticity. When adversity strikes, how should we deal with it? Doesn't the universe indeed not appear at times to send us a bit more than we can handle? Many seekers, myself included, began their spiritual search when they experienced disillusionment and dissatisfaction with life and wanted to feel more satisfied, complete, whole, and happy. Therefore, rather than interpreting a sense of dissatisfaction as a sign of unavoidable happiness, we can choose to view it in a positive light, perhaps as a sign that we are growing and being prodded to create an outer world that better reflects and nourishes an evolving soul. Maybe we are being pushed outside of our comfortable nest that has become too small. Perhaps it is time to live life from a deeper level with more substance at the base. I have become aware of how clinging to what I want and running away from what I don't want seems to bring suffering to my life. An alternative to clinging that I'm trying to practice is to be fully open to and receive experiences that arise in my life, to approach each day with an intention to be curious instead of fearful. The Dalai Lama has said, living life in the spiritual dimension means letting go equally of past and future and being present for each moment as it arises. I am attempting to not base my happiness on attaching to outcomes, but instead to organize and experience happiness based upon how well I am following my intentions that arise out of well-thought-out principles. My sense of self arises from my values and intentions. I'm finding that I have more peace of mind, serenity, when I make decisions based on my ideals and beliefs that regard myself, others, and the community at large. You don't have to be on this earth long before you learn that life is a mixture of tragedy and pleasure. It might be helpful to learn how to transcend our limited personal passions and to make an intention of having our world be a real community. Consider that through challenges, the universe may be rearranging things to loosen attachments, heal pride, or prepare the way for some new growth in your deep inner life. Of course, we can also make efforts to lower the number of corrections we have to go through by adjusting our actions. However, contrary to childhood training, there is no need to think that our parental God, or rather malevolent universe, is ready and waiting to punish if we somehow step out of line. This is where the idea of being surrounded by benevolence may be a more useful outlook. Many ancient spiritual scriptures explain that we create the world as we live it, each one of us and all together. Therefore, we can choose to create the experience of a loving universe. The seeds of spiritual happiness or unhappiness exist in how we interpret the events of our lives. The Dalai Lama reminds us that not getting what we want is sometimes a wonderful stroke of luck. Even if we don't always have a choice over how outer events and experiences take place, we do have some say as to how we interpret those situations. In fact, we can even learn to be grateful for challenges when our focus is on how to use them as promptings to live life from a deeper place. If we experience certain disappointments and setbacks and interpret them to mean that we must be unhappy, then we are unhappy. An alternative approach would be to assume that our feelings of dissatisfaction might be a helpful and positive signal that we are meant to adjust our lives. With this perspective, we can be happy, even amidst disillusionment. With such a broader view, we can also work more effectively to alleviate the sources of frustrations, whether those sources are outer circumstances or our own inner habits. Thank you.
I have three readings this morning, one from the book of James, the 5th chapter, the 11th verse. Behold, we count them happy. We count them happy who survive. Ken Kesey then, from Garage Sale. Suddenly, people were stripped before one another, and behold, as we looked on, we all made a great discovery. We were beautiful. Naked and helpless and sensitive as a snake after skinning, but far more human than that shining nightmare that had stood creaking in previous parade arrest. We were alive and life was with us. We joined hands and danced barefoot amongst the rubble. We had been cleansed, liberated. We would never don the old armors again. Final reading is from Zen Master John Daido Lori. You must know that beyond any doubt, if a teacher tells you that he or she has something to give you, it's time to run for your life. You're dealing with a charlatan. The truth is, you lack nothing. Everything you seek, you were born with, and you'll go to your grave with it. En route, you may realize it or you may not, but the fact remains, it's within you. There was a man once who loved animals. He traveled to Alaska every summer and hung out with grizzly bears in remote areas. He took miles of videos of those bears, and when he wasn't with the bears, he was with grade school children, middle school children, sharing his videos and stories of the grizzlies with the children of all ages. Perhaps you saw the Werner Herzog documentary concerning Timothy Treadwell entitled Grizzly Man. As we humans have a tendency to do, this man pushed the envelope with the grizzlies, and toward the end of one summer, a rogue grizzly ate he and his girlfriend. Still, we must imagine Timothy Treadwell happy. He kept trying to erase the distance between himself and the bears, and the final margin was eradicated by the bears themselves. But how can a man who is eaten by grizzlies be considered happy? If you'll think back a couple of months ago, I preached a sermon based upon the myth of Sisyphus by Albert Camus. Sisyphus, you will remember, was condemned by the gods to roll a rather large rock to the top of a hill, and then of its own weight, it would slide back down again. On his way back down the hill during contemplation is when Albert Camus writes, "We must imagine Sisyphus happy." Now, if these two statements are true, Timothy Treadwell is happy, Sisyphus is happy, then it's time perhaps to take a second look at what happiness might be and whether or not we want to let happiness in the front door. If you're a Dracula fan, you know that a vampire cannot enter your house unless you invite them into your house. Have you been having problems in your life? Or are you things cropping up, difficulties that you didn't ask for? Are there annoyances that simply seem to be a part of everyday life? Then consider this. Perhaps you have inadvertently invited happiness into your life. Switching gears here, I love the Cub Scouts. How many guys here were in the Cub Scouts? Wasn't it wonderful? It was built around the family. We had den mothers. We baked cookies. It was so much fun. And then I joined the Boy Scouts. The meetings were arranged around the men and not the families. I remember my first Boy Scout meeting. There were 150 of us there, 15 of which, I was one of those 15, who were about to be initiated into the Boy Scouts. Up on the stage in front of everyone, the 15 of us were bowing and chanting words. Foreign words, of course. They were Owa Tagu Siam. Owa Tagu Siam. We kept chanting those words over and over while the other scouts laughed and pointed at us. They were having a grand time. We chanted until we were told to chant until we understood. And when each of us understood one by one, we got up and joined the other scouts. Of course, what we were saying was, "Oh, what a goose I am." I still can't understand why it's bad or funny to be a goose. Speaking of birds, when it comes time for their fledglings to fly, mothers bring their customary worm to the nest, but they sit just far enough away that the fledglings can't reach the worm. All the mothers sit there dangling the worms as if they didn't have a heart. They screech and cry, the little ones. They chirp and wail, but to no avail. The mothers come no closer, and they sit there just out of reach, dangling the worms. Then a strange thing happens. The tiny birds, who have been totally dependent for such a long period of time, they reach a fever pitch of excitement, and they jump to their deaths. But voila, they fly. And they didn't even know they had wings. They didn't even know they had wings. Does this mean that grace is a lie, that the universe never gives you anything unconditionally? No, I don't think it means that. I think it means that grace is dangling right in front of you. Grace is what you've been hoping for. Grace is what you've been wishing for. Grace is the possibility that you may, in fact, actually deserve happiness. But the grace of happiness is like that damned worm dangling there on the television every day and every night. The sex is there, the food is there, the girls, the guys, the clothes, the cars, the money. It's all there dangling in front of us. The problem is, happiness may not be what we expect it to be. We may be thinking, oh, wah, tagu, siam, went on all along. In reality, it's, oh, what a goose I am. A Zen master, Soren, had a meeting, met a group of students at Kennedy International Airport. They were going to fly to Japan. The last student showed up late and harried. He was sweating, and Zen master Soren turned to him and said, it's too bad you're late because you missed the tea ceremony. Tea ceremony, replied the student, right here in Kennedy International Airport? Well, continued Zen master Soren, maybe you're not too late. He took this harried student by the arm and pulled him into a doorway. People were rushing by with those awful, scraping, heavy bags. Couples were embracing fond hellos and goodbyes. Soren Roshi took a small porcelain container from his robe, opened it. There inside was the powdered tea. He produced a small wooden bamboo spoon, scooped it in there, and shoved it into the student's mouth and said, now make water. In the regular army and undergoing basic training, one night we were taken to the firing range at sunset. They handed out live ammunition, always a dangerous thing for recruits. The senior drill sergeant locked and loaded, and for the first time, each one of us in person, we'd seen it in film, but in person we saw tracers. Every 15 bullets makes a trace across the sky, and you can't believe how close together they are. It was beautiful, those arcs of light flying across the Carolina skies. What we learned that night is how to kill people when you can't see them. You know, the enemy doesn't always attack during the daytime, inconveniently. The retina contains two forms of photoreceptors, rods and cones. The rods are more numerous and sensitive than the cones. However, they cannot see color. The cones provide the eye's color and are connected in the center in that portion called the macula. To see something at night, you can't look directly at it. You have to look off to the side to see it there. A more common example of this is if you let your dog out at night and there are no lights in the backyard and you're calling this dog and it won't come to you. The only time you see it is when it's out of your range of sight over on the side. The minute you look to see it, it's gone. Happiness, I feel, is the night vision of our soul. Happiness isn't direct. It's the Medusa of feelings. Jealous, protective, perhaps not immediately discernible, not a product, nearly always a process. Happiness is the byproduct of behaviors. That's why Timothy Treadwell and Sisyphus must be considered happy. That's why George and Martha of Who's Afraid of Virginia Woolf, even the Bickersons, must be considered happy. The great way is gateless, yet there are 1,000 paths to it. The Shakuhachi master, Zen master Dosho, came to visit Zen Mountain Monastery. And Daido Lori tells how he took him around and they were building a new bathhouse and there was all these pipes around the bathhouse that the plumbers were putting in. And Dosho picked up a 3-foot-long metal pipe and began playing it like it was a bamboo flute. And he made amazing sounds with this 3-foot pipe that had no holes in it, surprising melodies. At another time, Dosho gave a concert in Los Angeles at the Zen Center there, and just as he began, an LAPD helicopter came over with its thump, 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 thump. Dosho's flute immediately picked up the rhythm, developed a counterpoint. A child started screaming in the audience. Dosho's flute responded. A car drove by at high speed with loud pipes, and the flute whizzed by with it. Dosho's concert included the totality of all the sounds that surrounded everybody there. He blended, merged, answered everything he heard, incorporating it into his experience and expression rather than simply being distracted by it. Guess what? We're on the launch pad right now. Our vehicle of happiness is fueled. We're ready to go. The countdown began years ago. As a matter of fact, it began the day you were born. The question is, will we die on the launch pad all gussied up in our Earth suits? Not sure if we can fly? Or will we allow ourselves to enter the way, travel the path? Take time to show each other who you are. Don't worry that you won't be liked or people will run away when you unmask. The fear, that fear in your heart is nothing more than your heart's racing with the possibility that you may in fact be free. Do the world and yourself a favor. Take that leap. Show us who you really are. That feeling you have when you're real, when you show and tell others what it makes, what it takes to make you tick. When you own it and you tell your own story, that feeling. It's happiness. Owa tagu siam. Amen.